Happy New Year. Linda and I had a discussion this morning, and we cannot believe it's 2025. So, I mean, we had to ponder that this morning, Sunday. My goodness. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, and as we come into this New Year, the first Sunday of this new year, 2025, we pray that it be a glorious year and you show yourself strong and honor would be given to you, and pray you touch each one of us and speak to us and really be able to guide us and walk us through all the things of life that will come this year. And God, we thank you. We thank you that even what Carlos shared, you know, is spoke to Abraham. He said, okay, Abraham, for 10 people, I won't destroy this place. And so God doesn't need many, but he needs dedicated. He needs dedicated, those that look to him and desire to have them work in their life. So we just give you thanks, God, for this service this morning. I pray you speak to us this morning and let this something shared this morning just kind of kick off 2025 as we look to you and see you move. And Lord, I pray you really speak to us. I pray you anoint me with your spirit. I just speak words of the spirit and open each heart to receive. And we give all thanks to you and give this service to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, I have to add something. I forgot this. I was talking to Katie's sons, Tyler and AJ, and they challenged me to embarrass her this morning. I mean, they did. They said, would you do it? And I said, I'll do it. They said, you won't. I said, yeah, I will. I will. I'll do that. It's her birthday. Anyway, so be sure and tell Tyler and AJ I followed through. All right. Huh? I'm not going there. No. That's a bridge too far. Yeah, that's a bridge too far. I don't care what Tyler and AJ said. Not doing it. Anyway, this morning, let's look at, we're going to look at Romans chapter 7, verse 6. And I really was thinking this morning, says, okay, just something to focus on, kind of kick us off in 2025 and before we get into a book study. And the Lord just laid this on my heart, and as I prayed about it, just something we can take hold of, you know, for the coming year, and I hope it will, you know, be able to speak to each one of us. But let's look at Romans 7, chapter 7, verse 6. So we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Now, I've challenged, you know, all of us to read through the Scriptures, constantly read through the Scripture, and God will speak to us as we continue to read through the Scripture. And I have shared other times, and you know, I'll look at something, you run across a difficult passage, and I said, well, just go past it, just read past it, and someday the Lord will reveal it to you. And then also, I found that I have studied a section and looked at a verse and said, well, this is kind of insignificant, but, you know, God had a reason to put it there, and then pass on. Then a few years later or something, I'll read it, and I thought, oh, my God, this was the whole center of the whole chapter. And I just skipped over it, you know. I said, oh, my goodness. Well, this is one of those verses. Now, I always thought this is kind of a cool verse, you know, and then several years ago, it's like the Lord, he didn't really do this, but it's like he said, Wallace, this is just not a cool verse, okay? This is earth-shattering, you know, foundation-shattering verse, and you ought to pay attention to it. And so I did, and it is a fascinating verse. It is fascinating, and it really brings into perspective a lot of other scriptures. When you start looking at this, that your whole dynamic can change about the Bible and the New Testament and Old Testament when you start looking at what this actually says. And what is it? We serve in a new way, in a new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written code. Now, things we realize that, you know, as we study and go over the Scriptures week by week by week, and we look at the glories of God and the majesty of living with Him through Christ here on earth and for all eternity and in heaven above. I mean, we look at all those things and believe it and, you know, are encouraged by it. But here's the truth, and it really comes out here when you start looking at it and you see it in other places of Scripture, especially the New, in the Old Testament too, but especially the New Testament, and is the only way, notice only, the only way we can actually experience the fullness of the Christian life is through the Holy Spirit. It's the only way to do it. There's not a second way to do it, to experience it. Now, we can go through the letters and read the words, you know, but the power of the words come through the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit's doing. I had a friend of mine, and I bring him up often, and I love him to death, and I often said, I just love him to death. He was just low on empathy, all right, but he loved Jesus and stuff, and he would consider empathy not his gift, but I don't think that's what you should think. But anyway, one of the things he said, you read the Bible, and the Bible is nothing but dead letters on a page. It's nothing but dead letters on the page unless the Holy Spirit speaks to you through those letters. Well, I've come to agree with that. I absolutely agree with him. I totally agree with it. It's, you know, you read it and it's there, but the power of it comes through the Holy Spirit. The power of it, the interpretation, the application of it comes through the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of what this verse is saying. This is kind of what this verse is saying. So if it is, which I think it is, to experience the fullness of the Christian life, amen, the fullness of Christian life, we do that through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. Now, life by the written code, okay, life by the written code is the old way, by the written code. Now, we're on this verse. Don't think I'm jumping off into some areas, you know, here. No, we're looking at this verse. Life by the written code, the dead letters, is the old way. And it's powerless, producing frustration, and is an instrument of spiritual death, and for us, and for all those around us. Meaning that you can use the Bible, you can use the words of the Bible, and when it's dead letters on the page, it turns out to be your own frustration. How many of you have just been frustrated with your Christian life? I'm not asking for a raise of hands. If I did, I'd raise mine. But, okay, frustrated, you know, it seems powerless. Sometimes it just seems powerless. But also what it is, it's an instrument of spiritual death to us. The written code is an instrument of spiritual death to us. And also, the written code is an instrument to spiritual death of those around us. Around us. When you use the word without the power of the Spirit, it becomes a sword that destroys. Now, there's a whole bunch of Scripture that says this. Now, you're going to think, rather than go through the multitude of Scripture that says this, okay, I'm just going to give you one, okay? So take it to heart. There's others. We could go to Galatians 5:4, which is a great one to go to. But here's the truth of it, where Paul says in another letter. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 3:6. For the letter kills. That's what it says. For the letter kills. Now I'm going to use Bill Wright. The dead letter on the page kills. for the letter kills. And again, Paul's not talking about some other letter somebody sent him. He's talking about the Scriptures. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But the Spirit gives life. Now, so when you think of this, when you look at this one piece of it, if the letter kills and the Spirit gives life, no one in here would ever do this, but the criticism of others kills. The judgment of others. How many of us have a tendency to point the finger? You know, that kills. That's spiritually destructive. It kills. And that's what Paul is showing us, is, okay, we have a new way. We don't have an old way. We have a new way. And it really is in detail in the whole book of Romans. But it's a new way of the Spirit, you know, and not the old way of the written code. Now, Galatians 5:4, like I've said, states this clearly. I mean, you find it's stated all through the Scripture. All through the Scripture. And in Galatians 5:4, it says that those who use the law to justify themselves are severed from Christ. I mean, oh my goodness. You know, I mean, that's the word he uses. Those who would justify themselves by the law are severed from Christ. You're not any part of Christ. Now, it's interesting. There's no doubt when it's talking about this in Galatians 5, and as it goes on, we'll visit Galatians 5 again, is that when it talks about coming to the Lord Jesus, okay, as salvation, we come, it's a free gift, right? We offer nothing. If we offer anything, we're severed from Christ. And, you know, well, I just offered a little bit. No, you're severed from Christ. That's what he said. When you look at that, the depth of what the Lord is saying should kind of take us aback a little. Now, we understand salvation. Anybody here, I'm sure, will understand. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are forgiven, and we offer nothing. If we offer anything, we take away from him and we're severed from Christ. He doesn't accept anything. We have to accept him purely by faith, and we have nothing to offer. We don't have 1% to offer. We have nothing. And until we have nothing to offer, we have no salvation. We'll be severed from Christ. Amen? I mean, that's just the joy of the Christian life. We're given, have nothing to offer. But also, after salvation, the law and the rules sever us from the power of Christ. You hear me? After salvation, oh, we accept Christ. We offer nothing. Now I'm going to tell you all I'm going to do for Christ. And I'm going to tell you I'm going to get everybody straight. And I'm going to do that severs us from the power of Christ. There's no power. That means powerless Christians and a powerless church. Could you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have nothing to offer, and then go and live a powerless life depending on rules? Yeah, most people do. That's the rule. That's not the exceptions. That's what the most people do. And what the Apostle Paul is showing here, there's no power in rules. There's no power in law. And especially when we look, I'm trying to keep these rules. I'm trying to keep this law. There's no power for me to do it. Because I'm basing my actions on the rules and the law, which will sever me from Christ. And when we put those on other people, you ever hear the church judgmental? See? When we put those on other people, we sever them from Christ. We offer spiritual death to them by our criticism. See? But they should know better. That's the reason I don't tell you everything I do. Because you'd say, he should know better. You know, so I just keep it to myself, you know. Linda reminds me, but that's okay, you know. But you see what I'm, but you see what they were saying here, that the rules and the law separate us from Christ, sever us like a sword. Boom, you can't get there from here. You see it? That's what it says. That's what it said. Now let's go back up. I'm going to look at Romans 6:7-6. We serve in the new way of the Spirit. Period. Not in the old way of the written code, law. It's a new way of the Spirit. We don't have this set of rules we have to follow to be accepted and to have the power of Christ. That's what it says. That's what it says right here. It's a new way. Nobody gets it. They didn't get it then, you know. And they, Jesus and Paul, the Apostle Paul is saying, there's something different, and it's more powerful, and it's the power of the Spirit, not the written code. And again, great memory verse. The letter kills. The letter kills. The Spirit gives life. Now, so when we look at this, by the Spirit, is the new way to serve God. Now, what we need to take into understanding here, by the Spirit's the new way to serve God. Now, do you know what that means? Before Jesus is old way, the written code. Written code. This is a new way. It's not the Old Testament. It's the New Testament. The Old Testament is 100% true. I read it every year. Absolutely powerful. But there's not powers not in it. The powers in the Spirit. It's a new way of the Spirit which Jesus brought. Okay? And they look forward to the Messiah coming in the Old Testament. But it's not the old written code. It's not a written code. It's a new way of the Spirit. Amen? Have I beat that horse? You know, if you repeat this one more time, I'll throw my Bible at you. That's what you're thinking. All right. Well, here's the other part of it. And when I say this, you probably will throw your Bible at me. I don't know. See, we don't need the law. We don't need it. We don't need it. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. That's what this is saying. We do not need the law. Did you know the Bible in Romans 3:19, I think it tells us why we have the law. How many of you are keeping the law? We going to keep that? You know, I'm going to do, you know, or we make up our own law. We do good, you know. We make up our own law for others and stuff. We make that up. Okay. Do you know what the Bible says? Romans 3:19 says the law is to condemn you and show you that you fall short of the glory of God. It has a purpose that you ain't getting there from here. That's the purpose. Now, well, I'll keep it. And say, well, you'll be the first one. Well, actually, you wouldn't be the first one. Jesus kept it. But other than him, nobody kept it. And so the law proves to us that we're not Jesus. Okay? And we fall short. Now, again, this is where you put people under the law, you judge people, you make a church that's legalistic, and you rule. I don't care what it is. You can't have one of those rules and go to heaven, and you can't have one of those rules and live the power of Christ. You see what Paul's saying here is we want to be powerful. You know, now you've felt terrible and you've did something wrong and oh, you're fretting about it and stuff like that. Why? Because you didn't live up to your law. See, you're the source of your own problem. Or worse, I don't live up to God's law. Well, no, that's why he gave the law. He's trying to tell you, you can't get there from here. All right? So, he said, now we got a new way of the Spirit. We have a new way of the Spirit, and we don't need the law because we have the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute, how's this working? How do you handle your kids? There's a verse for your kids. Gosh, I can't remember. I think it's 2 Timothy 1:9, maybe 1 Timothy 1:9. And it's really good. And it says, the law is for the disobedient, your kids. See, that's what you use the law on your kids. Why? Because they're disobedient. All right? They need it. And he tells you. Anyway. But he's applying that to all of us. The law's for the disobedient. See, disobedient. It's not for the Christians. It's not for the Christians. See, a perfect example, and it just came to mind. You look at Jesus, okay, and think of something. Steal. Do you think Jesus stole? Would Jesus steal anything? Now, did he not steal because he had the law? Jesus wanted to steal, but says, thou shalt not steal. Can't do it. Son of a gun. No, Jesus didn't steal because he was Jesus. He didn't need the law. He didn't need any of that law. See, he wasn't going to steal. He didn't need that law. Well, why did he put the law, thou shalt not steal? Because you're disobedient kids. No, because of me. See, me without Jesus. I might, you know, you ask me over your house, I might just walk out of there all your silverware. You see what I'm saying? But I'm under the law and I can't do it. If I don't get caught, maybe I might give a try. No, when I go over your house, I shouldn't have the thought of taking your silverware. I don't need a law. The Holy Spirit within me should not even allow me to have that thought. You see what I'm saying? Well, this is what this is saying here about the Christian life. This is the revolution, if you will, of Christ in this world. Okay? He's saying we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Now listen to this. We don't need the law because we have the Holy Spirit. Look at Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit, okay, there's a law there. The law of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. We're free. We're free from that. That law of the Spirit set us free from the law of sin and death. What's the law of the sin and death? The Ten Commandments. And the other laws. Now, the Jews had lots of laws. I mean, they had the Ten, but they had like, I think they had like 650 real clear ones, and then they added on ones. And they would quote the different things to Jesus. So the Jews had lots of laws, and they weren't necessarily bad stuff, you know, but they had laws, you know, that people should do. The disciples one time, and this is where legalism takes you, the law. So they're going someplace, and it's Sunday, it's a Sabbath, so it's Saturday, so the disciples are hungry, so there's some corn or something wheat, and so they just pull off something and chicken to put in their hand, and they eat it because they're hungry. Well, the religious leader says, you can't do that. This is the Sabbath. You can't eat. That's work. You pull that corn off, and that's work. You can't do that anymore. You know, and Jesus goes, no. No, even then, he could see, no, you're missing the point. But their point was, you got to follow these outside rules. You know, everything's a judgment by those things. Now, again, they're not bad rules. They're not. I mean, we're all into not stealing. Okay, it's not a bad rule. Okay. And so, but God expresses him of who he is. Now, so we got all that going down here. But so we have a law, but it's a law of spirit. And that law of the spirit has set us free for, and I'm going to say this to make the point, from the Ten Commandments. Oh my gosh, I'm set free from the Ten Commandments. Don't ask Wallace over because he will steal your silverware. Now he will because he's free. See? And that's all I needed, to be free to take your silverware. But he says, no. Wallace, you're under the law of the Spirit, and you don't want to take my silverware. So you can ask me over. I won't take your silverware. Okay? Do you see where I'm going? this is what Paul is saying here. And he's saying, we're not under the law. We're not. How many times we judge people? Well, they did that. I wouldn't do that, but they did that, you know. I can ask your best friend, is it? Well, they didn't do that, but they do other stuff too. I mean, there's no end to it. I mean, there's no end. Oh, I got this greatest story of legalism in the world. Oh, to me, y'all won't think it's that funny, but I loved it. Now, I'm not talking about anybody's back or nothing. This is a truth. But the Amish are very legalistic. I mean, that's the reason they ride around in carriages and all. They decided everything ended in the 1800s, and so they... And that's fine. You know, that's kind of cool. We go up there and buy stuff. Well, we went to a bed and breakfast, and this lady told us she went to one of the Amish person, and she had mashed potatoes. And she said they were the creamiest mashed potatoes she ever saw. She goes, I know she didn't mash these mashed potatoes with a hand. There ain't no way she got these mashed potatoes this creamy. That she didn't do it. And she said, I just had to ask her. I said, how'd you get these mashed potatoes so creamy? Because you can't have a mixture. You're not allowed to. She said, well, my husband has to work on mechanical things, so the Amish have given him a special dispensation that he can use certain mechanical tools on for his work. Okay, so they broke the law there a little bit, let this guy help him make a living. Well, he has a power drill. And she said, I went and put my potato whippers in that power, his power drill, and I whipped them with his power drill. Don't you love the law? You can get around it, you know. That's fine, you give me, I don't whip it, and I don't go to Kmart and buy me a drill. But I'm going to use his drill that he works on the tractor and put my thing, and I'm going to whip my potatoes with his power drill. So anyway, that's legalism for you. Missed the whole point of, I don't even know what the point of why they did it in the first place. But that's how you do stuff to get around it. And God, he's like eating the corn going through the field. He goes, stop it. You know, you're missing the point. You're missing the whole point here. So, when you look at this, we have the law of the Spirit. As believers, it is the Holy Spirit that works in us and transforms us to behave like Jesus, not the outside law. How many of you looked at some of us, probably looked at me and said, he's not a very good Christian. He's not very good. They did that, and they did this, and you didn't think about what you just did, but that's okay. And we just judge, don't we? Because we're holy, and we hold the Bible, and we judge based on the dead letter. See? You see what I'm saying? And God is saying, no, it's believers. As a believer, the Holy Spirit works in us and transforms us from within to behave like Linda. Now, she's really up there, but she's not as up there as Jesus. Okay, close. No, transforms us to behave like Jesus. Who does that? Holy Spirit. You know, I can't do that for you or to you. I can't. You can't even do it for yourself. See? Because the goal is like Jesus. Whenever you point your finger to anybody, you should ask yourself, do I behave like Jesus? Bend that finger back. Maybe. You see what I'm saying here? I mean, it's really kind of overwhelming what the Lord is saying here. He's saying, what transforms us? The Holy Spirit. What law is necessary to transform us? None. The Holy Spirit doesn't need the law to transform us. The Holy Spirit will keep the law because He is the Holy Spirit. Jesus keeps the law because He is Jesus. You know, He kind of wrote the law and said, this is what I do, I just let you guys know. He didn't need to do so. So we see this, what's happening is this is happening, the new way of the Spirit is something happening within us. See, that's what's so terrible when you put rules on people on the outside, you put rules on them when you should be discussing to them what's happening on the inside. And you just put rules on them that kills them. Destroys them spiritually. because you're not working with the inside. You're just covering them with rules. Devastating when you think about it. The outside written code kills. I'm going to ask you something. What does the law do? The Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments. What do the Ten Commandments do? You're afraid to say it, aren't you? It kills. The Ten Commandments kill. That's what they do. I'm from the South, so I can say this. And you see these schools and stuff. And I understand. But the principal here, we're communicating. Says, we want to hang the Ten Commandments up in the school. You know? I mean, that sounds cool. And then, no, we're not. And they're having to fight over it. And I'm thinking, I don't think I'd be too smart. Hang the Ten Commandments up. Why? Because they kill. Well, they point you to Jesus. Well, Jesus says it doesn't point them to him. The Ten Commandments kill. It's just, no wonder nobody wants them hung in their schools. Because they kill. Why? Because they show, I keep those ten. No, it shows you don't keep those ten. And every day when you walk in the front door, you go, I don't keep those ten. Kills. See, that's what they were intended to do. That's what Romans 3:19, okay, gave the law to show that we fall short. Oh, there's the ten. Me and the ten. Me, Jesus, and the Ten Commandments. That's not how it works. The Ten Commandments kill. Because you will break them. Now, I'm not even talking about the other 650 they have. We'll just take the 10, okay? Just the 10. Now, the New Testament has a great verse. This is a great verse. And it says, if you break one, you break them all. I would never steal. But I really got ticked off and I said a bunch of swear words. Yeah, you stole. Might as well. You did it all. You did it. You broke it all enough. No, I didn't. No, it said you break one, you break them all. Why would God say some of that? To show that you can't keep them. To show that the only way you're going to survive is through the Holy Spirit. You can't keep the rules, and no one can live by the rules, and you don't live by the rules. You live in the new way by the Holy Spirit. All God's people said. That's what he's telling us. Now I'm going to tell you something. Church is full of rules. Full of rules. You know, it's kind of fun to preach legalism to a church. Because all y'all got so much stuff going on. Man, I could just pick on stuff forever. But you're doing wrong, you know. Well, you didn't do this, you didn't do this. And you just go on the do's and don'ts and do's and don'ts and do's and don'ts. Forever, all right? And some people do from the Word of God. From the Word of God. But it's a misusing, it's a mishandling of that. Because the power of the life comes through the Spirit. Comes through the Spirit. And when I preach legalism, I will preach to you, you ain't living by the Spirit. I can prove it. I can prove it with the Word of God. Holy tamale. The outside written code kills. I'm going to say it again just so I can irritate everybody in here. The Old Testament kills. The Bible says it does. It says it does. Worship only one God. Absolutely. Don't ever depend on anything else because anything else is idolatry. How many of you failed to worship the one God when you took it in your own hands to do it? It killed you. I just want you to know, it's dead. killed you. Now, so the outside written code kills. The Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life and guides our behavior. Amen? Okay, now how many of you, okay, enough of this stuff. How you do this? How you do this? Okay. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:17 through 18. Now again, all this is connected. Don't try to pull this stuff apart. It's all connected. 2 Corinthians 3:17, 18. Now the Lord is a spirit. Son of a gun. Who's the Lord? Jesus. Now we're going to have a whole discussion on the Trinity. I mean, it's like, wait, how did he pull this up? Look at this. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Now remember, how can you live? Oh, come on. You should just say it to me out of irritation. How can you live? Spirit. And the Spirit, okay? Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and no rules. Where are there no rules? Where the Spirit of the Lord is. Why do we need rules? Because we're not where the Spirit of the Lord is. We're like our disobedient kids. And the law is for us. You see what I'm saying? It's like, oh my goodness. Now the Lord is a Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Maybe the schools do need the Ten Commandments in them. Because I don't think the Spirit of the Lord is there. So man, I have to give them something to go by. I thought that's funny. Nobody's laughing at that. But so here, now the Lord is a Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That means there's freedom. There's no rules. There's no rules. But why are there no rules? Because the Spirit of the Lord is there. And we as believers, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. I love that word. Being transformed. You know what? That's where we get the... What are you talking when? Just went out of my mind. When a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. Metamorphosis. That's this word. We go through a metamorphosis through Jesus. The Spirit does that. We don't do that. That word, it literally, that's where we get metamorphosis, okay? It said, we behold the glory of the Lord, and we are being transformed, metamorphosis, into the same image from one degree of a glory to another. See, that even shows growth. From glory to glory, metamorphosis, all right? And it's through the Spirit, through the Lord. And then it ends with this, the metamorphosis, for this comes from the Lord, Jesus, who is the Spirit. Now, that's it, the way you do it. You go, but that's the way you do it. Right here, he's telling us how it happens. And it happens from within, from the Spirit of God. And the letter kills what's going on inside of you. The letter, the law kills on what's going on inside of you. Because the Spirit transforms you from within. From within. Everything, counseling somebody, help somebody. Let me come alongside you, brother, and we'll talk about what's going on within. You see? Now listen, here's what you do. Which they can't do and which you don't do, but anyway, it's easy to preach. We are transformed by the Holy Spirit working within us, not by rules on the outside of us. Okay. Now, how many of you want to know how we do this? You ready for the how-to? God tells us how to. Now, God thinks this is enough to tell us that we can get this. Here's the how-to. The how-to that we do this. I want you to look at Colossians 2:6. Colossians 2:6. How does the new way of the Spirit work? Now remember, we're talking about the Holy Spirit doing something, not us doing it. Our problem is because we want to do something. But we're talking about what the Holy Spirit does, and we need to get in tune with that. Colossians 2:6. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, So, walk in Him. Now, I ask you something. How did you receive Christ Jesus as Lord? How? By faith. What'd you do? Nothing. Because if you did something, it don't work. You're severed from Christ. You did nothing. I can't save myself. Here I am, Jesus. I can't do it. If I'm saved, you have to do it. Just at that moment, that feeling, how you accepted Christ, that's how you walk in it. Lord, I can't do it. I can't do this on my own. There's no way. My human efforts are going to bring me down a path. I can't do it. I won't do it. Then the Holy Spirit. Walk in Him how you received Him. Brothers and sisters, that's how it works. But I don't understand. Then go back how you came to know Jesus. That point, that is moment, and that point tells you and is repeated in your daily walk. How you received Him, you continue to walk in that every day. That's the power of the Spirit. That's what Colossians 2:6 is saying. And you know what the problem in doing this is? We can't get ourselves out of the picture. Yes, we just can't back up. Besides, I saw so-and-so downtown. You wouldn't believe. I got to tell somebody how bad they are. You ain't walking in nothing. And nothing you're walking in. See, and those things, our criticism and pointing the fingers to others shows the weakness in us that we're not walking with Christ. Oh, I mean, they're just like one verse. You think God would give us like a book on it or something. No, He said, you do. You know how you came to Christ? Yeah. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Okay. How do I walk in Him? Believe on the Lord Jesus. But you need my help. You know, you can't pull this off. You don't understand the problem. Now, we don't say that, but we think that. Live in the same way as the moment you accepted Christ. By faith, you believed and accepted Jesus as a free gift and not a good works. That's how you walk in Him. We have this book. We're enjoying this book, Saving Like a Christ. And one of the guys brought up this Saturday that Ian Thomas would say, every time he walked up to the situation, he'd go, thank you, God. I can't wait to see what you do. See? Now, I Greg's not here. He's around here some. Mike saw him too. We met him, you know, some 20 or 30 years ago. We actually got to see him before he passed away. And I remember him saying that. And my thought was, you crazy old man. That's exactly what I thought. That don't work. You know, there ain't no way it works, you know. And then now, here 30 years later, I go, you know, he was right. It does work. It does work. The only problem with this not working is me. It's me and my walk with Him. So, therefore, as you receive Jesus as a free gift, so walk with Him. Now, listen to this. This is really important. The literal meaning of the word walk here, the word walk, you should circle it. Now, like the Bible will show you, like walk. We're going to walk from A to B. Okay, and the English translation is walk. And then you say, okay, I'm going to walk with you in your troubles. I'm going to be occupied with you in your troubles. Walk. And then the English translation is walk. But they're two different Greek words. There was one English word, but it's two different, and they're way, way different. The walk here is to be occupied with. Okay? So what it's saying here, the word here says walk. It says to walk is to receive Christ, so walk in Him. It means so as you receive Christ, so be occupied in Him. That's what it means. We're not walking A to B. So were you occupied in Christ? When I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I give all things to you, Lord. I'm forgiven. I receive that. I'm just occupied with him. He goes, walk in that occupation. Continue to walk being occupied. Continue to walk and be occupied with Christ. Just like when you were saved. There's the power. There's the power. And see, people we have a hard time with. But that word, sir, it means, look it up. In one place in the scriptures, too, they actually translate is occupy. That word walk. This particular word walk. Now, so this is saying we were occupied with Christ. And we when we came to know him, we need to continue to be occupied with him. That intensity with him. Being occupied with Christ will change our behavior. Come on. Come on. That's Christ not doing nothing. It's just we're occupied with him and it changes our behavior. But the Bible says that his power is released. His power is released. But be occupied with him changes our behavior and we're empowered to live it out because we're occupied with him. See, this by being occupied with Jesus, we give him an avenue, agreeing of an avenue for him to transform us. And we don't need the law because the law kills. The law kills. No, you're occupied with him. He trans us from within. Wallace, don't steal. Wallace, don't steal. Wallace, don't steal. What's on my mind? Steal. 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 And God says, no, walk and be occupied with Christ. Be occupied with Christ. You know, what was my problem? I can't believe I thought to take it, steal something. But I'm occupied with Christ. I could never. Oh, my God, what is it? Where did that thought come from? See? I'd only have if I'm occupied with Christ. And there's a power working within us, all right, when we are occupied. Now, so if we're occupied with Christ, we will be empowered to behave like Christ. Occupied we want to, and also occupied we have the power to behave. All comes from within. All comes from within. What could take that away? The law, criticism, rules, destruction. Most churches, okay? This is the only way, this is the only way, biblically, we can live the Christian life. Because only Jesus can live the Christian life. That's it. He's the only one to live it. He goes, so be occupied with him. He's the only one living. He didn't need the law. You won't either. So, now here, let me wrap up here. Let's look at this in a little more detail. Okay, same thing. We're going the same. You wouldn't believe how much scripture I'm skipping over. It's driving me nuts, okay? But anyway, just know there's more out there. Again, start with Galatians 5:4. Unbelievable. But so, Let us look at this new way of the Spirit that we started off in Romans 7:6. Okay, so it's a new way of the Spirit. Okay, now what we have here in Galatians 5:16 is talking about the same new way of the Spirit. All right? Now we're into the how-to, folks. Don't doze off on me yet. Okay, here's the how-to. Galatians 2:6. But look at Galatians 5:6. Here's the how-to. I mean, I don't know what the Lord has to say to me, but this is a how-to. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Well, as you're stealing again. The reason I keep using stealing, I don't want you to be thinking about all the other stuff I could be doing, all right? Anyway, so it's like, wow, as you're stealing again, what's my issue? Not walking in the Spirit. I don't need a law. I don't need a law to know I'm stealing. Okay? I need something else. I need to be walking in the Spirit. So you need, Wallace, I don't know. Let's walk. What's going on? Do you know? How are you and Jesus doing? You being occupied? Oh, yeah. Wallace, you wouldn't be stealing off this stuff if you was occupied with Jesus and really spending time with that. Tell me, what's happening? I want to walk with you. Just, what's happening? Do you see how your counseling changes? Because the law kills. The law kills. I mean, it really has an impact in what we do here. So, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Folks, list your own right now. I don't want to hear it, but in your mind, list your own desires of the flesh. Just listen. You know, it doesn't have to be any terrible thing. You know, it's like, I want those new pair of shoes. I'm not going to tell my husband, but I really, really want them. That's a lust of the flesh. That's all that is a lust of the flesh. See, so we don't want to look, oh, there's this big stuff. No, that's all the little stuff. It's all the little stuff, too. Now, so, but what's in here, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't gratify those, you won't gratify those human desires of the flesh. Multitude, we all have them, but you won't gratify them. Why? You need a law. No, that's the last thing on this planet you need. You need to walk in the Spirit, and you won't gratify. Does it explain, folks, does this explain everything? Right, it explains the whole thing. And again, it's Romans 7:6. They go together, okay? Now, here's another thing. Just love it. The walk, see the walk in the Spirit? It's the same word as in Colossians 2:6. It's be occupied with. Same word. Now look at it. I say, be occupied by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill desires of the flesh. What are you occupied with? What are you occupied with? That flesh, and then that's it. You're not occupied. If you're occupied with the Spirit, then you're not occupied with those things of the flesh. See, it's an internal thing where you have what you're focused on. What are you occupied on? I mean, is this powerful or what? Okay, those two verses. And it just gives you a flat-out statement. You need 97 rules, you know? You can't make those mashed potatoes with a power mixture. I'll get my husband's drill and put them in there. You'll see these things whipped up. See, that's what the law does. See, that's what the law does. But if it's from within, you do what the Lord wants you to do because you're occupied with Him, and therefore you start behaving like Him from within. And people putting you under the law destroy all the progress you make. So, this means if we are occupied with the Holy Spirit, we will not gratify the desire of our fleshly human nature. I could just ask this question, you could just answer me, I don't want you to. What are you occupied with? What are you occupied with? You know? I mean, just put the list. Whatever you're occupied with, that's what controls you. That's what controls you. I mean, Holy Spirit counseling here. Okay. Brothers and sisters, listen carefully. We don't need law or rules to live the Christian life. We don't need laws and rules to live. We don't need it. We don't need it. But they do this. Well, they don't need another rule. They got something else going on. They got something else going on. You know? We need to be occupied with the Holy Spirit. This is freedom in Christ, living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Living in power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Rich, give us a drum roll. Okay. Y'all all believe what I just said. I mean, what the Bible just said. Weed out what I just said. But what the Bible just said. All right? Now listen to this. Look at this and listen to what the Bible says. All this is connected. Look at Galatians 5:18. Look at Galatians 5:18. Like you never looked at it before, look at Galatians 5:18. But if you are led by the Spirit. Look at me. I don't know how to do this. So this right here. This is how the Spirit leads a man. And I drag him. You see this? Isn't that gross? But that's what this is saying. If you are by the Spirit, if you are led by the Spirit, no rules. There ain't no rules. There ain't no law, and there are no rules. No Ten Commandments. No rules. If you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You don't need it. You don't need it. And you put people under the law, you quench any hope of them ever succeeding. Ever. And your religious people have done that. You see what I'm saying? So, don't take my word for it. Take this verse. Take this verse and just take it for what it means. We serve in the new way of the Spirit. If we are occupied with the Spirit, thus being led by the Spirit, we're not under the law because we don't need the law. We are free. We are free. Now, warning, the law severs us from Christ and kills spirituality. Christianity does not work without the Holy Spirit. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. Now, we'll close up with this. Now, serve in the new way of the Spirit and be occupied with the Spirit. Look what the Apostle Peter said on the first day of the church. First day of the church existed. On the first day, he says this, Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of the sin of your sins." And the church puts a period there. They put a period there. But that's not what it says. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, repent. Every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit, and you'll never need a law again. Never need a law again because you receive the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. The church should never be seen as a place of judgment. Ever. Ever. But so-and-so may walk in. What an opportunity. Because so-and-so doesn't need a law. So-and-so needs Christ in them. To walk with them. Help germinate. And receive that Christ in them that will transform them. No judgment there. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your love. And I know I spent repetition, a little more on this, but just to drive home the point here in 2025 that we are under the power of the Holy Spirit. We do not need a law. And we thank you, God, that you paid the penalty on the cross. You paid for all our sins. And because we are totally forgiven, we are as right as God because nothing is held against us. And therefore, you give us the Holy Spirit that we may behave like Jesus behaved without the law. We give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.